Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, February 13th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 4th of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. At the end of today's report, we have a special story for you about the arrival of former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He came to Israel on a quiet solidarity mission, and I have that story for you. The Israel Daily News Podcast was invited to join on the coverage, and we will share with you all of what happened today in the border towns in the south that we visited. Now, let's get to the news. Monday, three IDF soldiers were killed and 10 were wounded when Hamas attacked a structure that soldiers were based in. The attack was either from an improvised explosive or an anti-tank missile. Since early January, the IDF has been following a pattern of placing soldiers in areas of Hamas control. This has increased the success rate of Hamas surprise attacks. The IDF has released the names of the fallen soldiers. They are 30-year-old Lieutenant Commander Yair Cohen, 27-year-old Sergeant Major Ziv Chen, and 46-year-old Lieutenant Colonel Netan El Yaakov El Kubi. Their bravery and service will be remembered, and we here at the Israel Daily News Podcast send out our heartfelt condolences to the families, community members, neighbors that are dealing with the fallout of this tragedy. Monday, two Palestinians were shot and injured when violent settlers attacked people in Asira al-Kibilia, a Palestinian village in the northern West Bank. They are currently recovering in the local hospital. A pair of vehicles and a home were set on fire as well. Mayor Hafez Salah says it was an aggressive group from the Yitzhar settlement who descended on the village, throwing rocks and firing arms. Israeli soldiers have been deployed to the area, but there have been no reports of arrests. In a later incident in the nearby village of Huara, settlers have also been reported to light ablaze a truck belonging to a Palestinian resident. Violence in the West Bank has spiked since the October 7th massacre, but watchdogs say it was on the rise even before then. If you recall, there was that set of brothers that were shot dead in Huara while sitting in their car at a traffic light months ago. There's been a lot of ongoing violence between Jews and Palestinians in the West Bank. Jordan's King Abdullah spoke beside U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House. This was their first face-to-face meeting since the events of October 7th. Abdullah stressed that Hamas's terror is unacceptable to Muslims, and that a lasting ceasefire must be established to preserve life. The Jordanian king warns against the IDF's plans to push into Rafah, which is now the most densely populated city in Gaza. This is a moral dilemma for Israel, as Hamas operation sites and missing hostages are likely in this area that Israel would like to enter, but the rest of the world does not want them to enter. Abdullah and Biden both say that Palestinian displacement beyond the borders of Gaza and the West Bank is unacceptable. King Abdullah also urges the U.S. to revoke their suspension of funding for UNRWA, saying, quote, "Its work in other areas of operation, especially in Jordan, where 2.3 million Palestinians are registered, is also vital." You see, I think a lot of people forget that there are Palestinians in other parts of the region as well, with most being in Jordan, some in Lebanon. Still, the United States is ensuring multiple open border crossings to bring aid into Gaza. Looking to the future, President Biden says, once Hamas control of Gaza is over, the Palestinian Authority must prepare to build a state that accepts peace, does not harbor terrorist groups like Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, end quote. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas is now 88 years old. Israel is hosting a private meeting called the Day After Abu Mazen. Abu Mazen is how is another name for President Abbas. The discussion at the Knesset is going to be about the future after he passes on. Currently, the Palestinian Authority is looking real good these days when compared to Hamas, and it's run by Abu Mazen. So there's going to be a meeting of Israeli officials and thinkers coming together to talk about what it's going to be like the day after Abu Mazen passes away. He's 88 years old. So the Israel Daily News podcast has been invited to cover that. We will let you know if there are any good highlights or takeaways from that conference. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can also make a one-time contribution to our special wartime coverage. If you just look up GoFundMe.com and type in Shanna Fold, you'll see it comes up as independent journalist covering Israel's war. If you have donated and you have not heard back from me, make sure, or if you just haven't sent an email to begin with, make sure that you've sent over an email or some kind of a communication with your address so that I can send you a handwritten thank you note to show my appreciation for you. Also, if any of the listeners of the Israel Daily News would like to promote their business, reach out to me at shannafold@gmail.com. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also follow us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. The Israel Daily News podcast was on the ground when former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and his wife Susan showed up to Kibbutz Kfar Aza, which was a devastating scene of mass destruction when hundreds of Hamas terrorists invaded the community on October 7th. Pompeo comes to Israel on a solidarity mission and was very serious about reiterating the U.S.-Israel alliance. Pompeo served as former U.S. President Trump's Secretary of State from 2018 to 2021, and before that served from 2017 to 2018 as the Director of Central Intelligence Agency, also known as the CIA. He was a member of the House of Representatives from 2011 to 2017 and graduated from Harvard Law School in 1994. Pompeo took a tour of the destruction with businessman philanthropist Yossi Sagol, who invited Pompeo to Israel, as well as member of Knesset Ambassador Dani Danon. During the tour in Kfar Aza, Pompeo and his wife met Liran Berman, the brother of Gali and Zev Berman, 26-year-old twin brothers who are currently being held hostage in Gaza. This was Liran's second meeting with Pompeo. The first time he met them was in Washington, D.C., with a delegation of families who went to share their stories with Congress. That was months ago at this point.
The fighting started here and was ended here in Kfar Aza. It was ended here on Monday. So since Saturday at 8 till Monday at noon, there was fighting going on here. 7 were abducted from here, just from this neighborhood. 7 young people were kidnapped from this neighborhood alone, together with my 2 little brothers. It's been 130 days now, and we still don't know where they are, in what condition they are. We know from the first deal, the release hostages in the first deal, they saw them, they were alive. It was more than 70 days ago. And for 17 days, we have no new information about them. We know that they were separated in the first day, first hours maybe. They were kidnapped together. Together with a friend who lives in the next door. And we need your help for a second deal.
The testimony from Liran Berman ended with Pompeo and his wife giving him hugs. Pompeo shook the man's hand twice before moving on to the next part of the tour. I could see that Pompeo was lingering a little bit. He said a goodbye, and then he lingered, and then he, I feel he wanted to give another hug or give another handshake. He just gave one more handshake before he moved on to the next part of the tour. Next up for his day was a trip to the site of the Nova Music Festival in Kibbutz Re'im. The last time the Israel Daily News podcast was there, in Kibbutz Re'im, it was completely untouched. Tents were up. The campsite was full of tuna cans and water bottles, cigarettes. It looked like exactly what it was. A site where people needed to up and run for their lives. That report can be seen, because I did a video report on it, on Shanafold's YouTube channel or on the Israel Daily News podcast Instagram page. Today, Tuesday, the site has been cleaned up, the site of the Nova Festival, and replaced with photos and banners showing the names and images of some 400 innocent people who were murdered at the party. So instead of all of the litter, garbage, and belongings of individuals that were left at the Nova site, that has been cleaned up. And in replacement are pictures of all of the individuals that died by Hamas terrorists murdering them heinously on October 7th. At the festival site, Pompeo held a brief press conference where he took questions from the press, including the Israel Daily News podcast.
But we should always be deeply mindful that there is power behind the forces who came across these fence lines in Gaza. And I think, too, today of the struggle still in the north with Hezbollah, we should be mindful that what happened on October 7th is a symptom of the challenge that the Islamic Republic of Iran brings. And so I think the world needs to remember that whether it's what's taking place in the Red Sea today or what's happening, the fights that are going to occur around Rafah, that in the background is the Iranian leadership, it is Iranian training, it is Iranian money. And so the responsibility to get this right will inevitably require lots of sustained effort against that true threat.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Shanafold, Israel Daily News podcast. People in my generation, my parents' generation, have known that there's been support from the Democratic America, from many officials in the United States, but I see that that's going away. Even my sisters that are 21 years old, not even a generation less than me, there's almost no support for Israel, and they're scared on college campuses. What do you think needs to happen in the United States to bring more support back onto Israel and stop this downward spiral?
Well, I'd like to remind you all that some of the things you see on CNN every day or on some of the news doesn't represent the reality of America, and that the America that I know and the people that I see. And by the way, it's not political, it's not Democrat, Republican. The American people stand firmly with the nation of Israel, the vast majority of them. Maybe I'll just stop there in this place. I don't think anyone should ever have any illusion about the evil that took place here. And I hope that the next generation will come to take that on board in the same way that my generation and the generation before me did as well. But you should have great confidence that the American people stand with Israel. I know that I do. I believe it with all my soul.
Mr. Secretary, would you comment on the two hostages being released? And then this was an intelligence failure on the 7th, but pretty dramatic intelligence and military success yesterday.
It's always great news. Some of my highlights as Secretary of State when we were able to get hostages released for the nation of Israel has to be incredibly joyous, mindful that there still remain dozens and dozens of hostages that are being held. So great work by the broader intelligence community and the IDF, brave soldiers and warriors. Much work left to do.
Jody Cohen from World is One News in India. What are your views on the planned operation in Rafah, and also President Biden's view that Israel's response to Hamas has been over the top?
Israel's response to what took place on October 7th is perfectly appropriate and, more importantly, necessary.
Amen.
What has to happen after the war, when the fighting stops? What kind of a situation needs to be in place to make sure it doesn't happen?
So for today, I'll leave it with this, with a principle, not an outcome. The principle has to be this. It cannot be that a peoples would live their lives with the risk that something like happened on October 7th could happen again. We wouldn't permit that in the United States. We wouldn't permit our people to have to evacuate the North or not be able to live in their homes inside of the United States in our country. The Israeli government should not permit that threat to remain upon them either. And so however the political solution is for governance in Gaza, needs to have as the central thesis Israeli security.
After a few questions, a mother interrupted the event to share some frustrations. She expressed that no one had contacted her from the Israeli government. It's a common thread we've seen in our reporting at the Israel Daily News podcast. Israelis are talking about how no one followed up with them regarding the October 7th attacks, meaning the government did not do much to get in touch with them, not to offer information, not to offer hugs, or even recognition that anything had gone awry. And this has really deeply disturbed a lot of people that I've interviewed, because they say that they expected to at least get some kind of a phone call from some government official or from some organization, but it's been silent. The phone has not rung. We took this woman aside and asked her to tell us about her story.
I heard your comment before. Can we just start with your name?
Yes, my name is Katya Zohar. I'm the mother of Bar Zohar. She was murdered in the 7th October here at the Festival of Nova. Bar was very brave. She rescued three of her friends. She called us at six and a half to say that there are alarms. And my husband told her to go into the car and come home. And she drove out. She was from the first that got out. But near Berry, there was police, and they told them that they can't go on because there's terrorists in Kibbutz Berry. So they came back, and when they came back, terrorists start to shoot at them. And she was injured, and her friend behind was injured, and a car got into them and took them to the side of the road. And the friends telling that they just waited for the next bullet to kill them. And then suddenly Bar, my daughter, saw that the driver who ran into them ran away from the car. She got out from the car. She was injured, yes, injured badly. She got out of the car and she take them to the other car. And she began to drive near here. And suddenly they saw that the car is going, not straight. And they began to shout from the back my daughter's name, Bar, Bar. And she told them, I'm bleeding, I'm bleeding. She started to lose consciousness. And suddenly she stopped the car. Her three friends ran away from the car. And she stayed in the car because she couldn't go out. Two men came to try to help her. They took her out from the car and put her some, they took their shirts and tied them over when she was shot. And they took her near an ambulance who was a little bit up. And they took from the ambulance and a bed and oxygen, and they tried to help her. There was another young girl that didn't move from her. She stayed with her until her last minute. She could run away. Her name is Liron Barda. She could run away, but she didn't run away. She stayed with my daughter because my daughter began to cry and say, please don't leave me alone. And for 4 months, we're waiting for a call from someone from the government to tell, I'm sorry for your loss. I want to offer my condolences. Nothing, nothing. We feel like we're transferred. Nobody's seeing us. The only one who's talking to us is the police. They're trying to help with details, and Bituach Leumi. Nobody except this didn't talk to us. Last week we were in France. I'm a French citizen. We are in France. The French government they did for us a ceremony. Wow, we don't know how to thank them. And here, nothing, nothing, not even a word, not even a word.
We also caught up with Israeli politician and former diplomat Danny Danon. Danon serves as a Likud party member of Knesset and was previously Israel's 17th United Nations representative from Israel. He was a big part of the organization of today. And let's have a listen at what he has to say about the current state of affairs.
Get on a plane and come over here.
We are grateful for the visit of Secretary Pompeo and his wife, Susan. You know, I have led dozens of delegations to this area, and I can tell you it's making an impact. I have seen the change, you know, when they come to Israel and when they go back to their communities, the way they speak about what happened on October 7th, the way they speak about the just war that we are conducting 2 miles from here, our soldiers fighting evil. So I think it's important because unfortunately it's going to be a long war and we will need the support of our allies.
Just about a month ago, you spoke about some things that you think that Israel was doing wrong in this war. Where are we at now? What do you think needs to be improved?
I think we have a lot of accomplishments, but at the same time, after 4 months, we could have achieved more. So I think we should understand that we are fighting evil. We have to be aggressive. We have to do everything we can to finish it as soon as possible. You know, we can drag it for years, but we don't want to do that. We want to finish and come back and rebuild the communities here.
Last question for you. What's something important to you? You're working every day. You're in office. What's important to you that you think is not being given enough coverage, not being seen enough, talked about enough?
Well, I think we should see the unity. Because when you open the news, you see the that's us fighting the bad guys. But when you watch the news, you think that we are fighting. Actually, what I see the unity. I see people coming together, standing together, fighting together. So I want the people of the world to understand that we are united and we are committed to win.
Pompeo ended his journey in Ofakim, where he received detailed briefings from the community's mayor, Itzik Danino. Secretary Pompeo also spoke with mayors from Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, and southern communities, who discussed the challenges they're facing and have been facing since October 7th. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 14 degrees Celsius and a high of 23 degrees. That's 58 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 73 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top 5 stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week and, of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. I want to make a special note to my cousin Sila and her husband Yozi, who today celebrated the Brit Milah of their baby boy. My entire family in New York celebrated while I was over here reporting from the border in Israel. Can't say I'm not jealous of the family simcha or of the family occasion. Mazal tov to the family for bringing a new Jewish life into the world. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off now with a song called Hashmenai by Kunda and Laor. Enjoy this cousin duo from Jerusalem and have a great and productive day.
שתראי ותתאור